Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have a significant development in today's celebrity contest. Not from the world of entertainment, not from the world of sports, but from the world of he literally changed your world forever.
From the world of the world.
Steve Wozniak is on the line, apparently. Is this true, Steve? Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. I've got Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky with me today. How are you, sir?
Hi, this is I. Very nice to talk to you.
Who is this?
This is Steve Wozniak. It is I.
It is I. Oh, I thought you said it's Ike of Ike Sandwiches for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. No, that's not. Wow, Steve.
Ike Sandwiches wants to make a sandwich based on me, and I haven't had time to get down there yet.
Oh, well, I can arrange that for you. I know the right guy. Steve, thank you for helping to change the way the world communicates. You've done a nice job with that.
Yes, and I'm sorry for the bad sides of it, too.
Yeah, there are some, but it's funny that you go right to that. Obviously, you know that you invented the something that changed the world for the better and the worse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get all the robocalls and spam we want.
It's good to know that you're getting them, too, frankly. If I'm going to get them, at least in that way, we're equal.
Yeah, I just like the joke.
Steve Wozniak appearing in the celebrity contest on the Dial Pad guest line. So is there any way we could possibly arrange a tour of your new your new office? That ring, I've seen it from the air so many times. It's very, very cool. I heard it's hard to get in.
You're going to have to arrange that on your own. I can't help with that.
So I'm guessing we're not getting free computers out of this deal either. That's not going to be part of it.
As a matter of fact, I don't even ask for free computers. I just don't want to. I'm not that kind of person. I don't want to have privilege over others ever in my life. And there's a lot of stories you could learn about me. I mean, I gave away huge amounts of my stock to early people just so there wasn't only three of us that got all the riches. And I continued to do that. I invested in a lot of museums in San Jose just out of my own money, my heart. And they named the street after me. So I kind of wanted to get down and live more like a medium person, meet normal people and have conversations with them and shake hands and everything everywhere I go. I do not live that high-level life. I am the only person who's had an actual paycheck every week since we started the company, though.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Steve Wozniak here on 95.7 The Game for our celebrity contest. All he did was help change the way the world communicates forever. What did you think of Seth Rogen's turn as you in the Steve Jobs movie?
Well, I've started been featured in about three major ones, and Seth Rogen, it was what an honor to be represented by such a cool guy. And my wife and I got to meet him and his wife and got to dinner with him a few times and participate in a charity event of his. I don't know, it's just tops of coolness. I like that. I like being around interesting people more than accomplished, successful people, actually.
Well, who did you call in for today?
I'm calling in for a friend of ours, Glenda Timmerman. And my wife met her way back in college, but she trains our dogs. My dogs are dear to my heart. You would never believe how I treat dogs and, you know, talk to them like little kids all day long.
What kind of dog?
Right now we have four Bichon Frise.
Oh, wow.
And Glenda did a lot of training on the first two of them. And then sometimes when we go on a trip, we'll leave our dogs with her. I have to travel a lot for speaking engagements.
Steve Wozniak, and I have seen you in line waiting for technology when you could have that shipped directly to your door, any door you want in the world. You really are as about a much of a man of the people as a billionaire becomes, right, Steve? Is that it?
Yes, but I had my philosophies in my head by the time I was 20 years old, and that's around when your personality settles in for life. I knew who I was, and I was not going to be one of those upper type people. I do not like to act like I'm more important than anyone else in the world, really. But that's me. And then, but also the friend that I'm calling on behalf of, I mean, she's a real sports fan. That's why she listens to your station, your show. She's so into the Giants that her three dogs are named Posey, P Panic and Parker.
Wow, Parker. That really is being very into the Giants.
Yeah. Is Posey getting old before your eyes? Is he about to be put down?
Oh.
Sorry.
That was too profoundly unkind.
You know what? The trouble is we have this political correctness and you get rid of so much stuff that makes people laugh, and laughter is the best medicine. So too bad.
So you're doing this for someone who is a dear friend of your wife. How much of this is because she needs a pick me up for the baseball season?
I'm not even sure how that phrase applies, but I'm sure that that's part of it. She's a real diehard fan. Now, I'm into sports, and I had 27 years of season tickets to the Warriors, and now I've gotten to the Sharks, which is, thank God, close to home. I wasted 8,000 hours of my life driving to those Warrior games. But I like to go. I like the sport. And I don't say, well, just because I live in San Jose, I'm for San Jose. I am, but I don't want to be totally fanatical and yelling and screaming. I appreciate any team that's good. But she's more like so diehard Giants fan, it's hard to explain.
Steve Wozniak here on 95.7 The Game. Steve, I don't think I've ever had anyone on my show other than Joe Lacob who could actually buy a team. You said that you're a huge sports fan. Have you ever considered throwing your hat in the ring and buying a franchise?
I would not do that. A lot of people who made it real big in sports did that, in computers did that. No, I'm literally honest when I say I did not want to be big money. I really gave it all away. I'm pretty well off now. I get a lot of money for speaking. But I could not afford a sports team, not really. Now, I've met people like Paul Allen, became a good friend of his before his death. And, and I've got a couple of others that went out and bought sports teams. And I don't know, that's kind of attractive because sports is, it's competition, it's fun, it's games, you know. I've been such a game player. A lot of people don't know, but my computer, the Apple II computer, which was all of Apple's revenues for the first 2 years of Apple, 10 years of Apple, one product, made it all. And that was the first time ever that arcade games were color. Imagine the importance of going from black and white to color, and it was the first time that arcade games were software, so you could create a game in a day instead of a year.
And not only I remember playing Oregon Trail. That changed my life as a small child, playing that on the Apple II, so I certainly remember that.
Yeah, well, a computer can do useful things, but you also have to have the fun, and games is the fun, and sports is truly entertainment to me. I love music and sports so much. My wife and I go to all of them, and
Steve, I saw that you put together a concert in the 80s, which was one of the most star-studded concerts ever assembled. Like, you got U2 to open for Bruce Springsteen or something. I mean, it was insane.
We got all that. We did all that in a period when the idea of big, huge concerts that size, festivals, really wasn't going on at all. And we had a huge, successful one, sold 1 million tickets in 82 and 83. They were basically three-day festivals full of groups. Lost a lot of money because we didn't have the formula down for making money yet. We had to spend a lot just to, I don't know, manufacture a huge amphitheater that could hold 500,000 people. But it was one of the most dear things in my life. I'm so glad. And I'm not social that much, so I didn't go out really and meet all the groups that were playing. But I met a few of them, and they became pretty good friends over time, some of them.
You said you were a season ticket holder for the Sharks. Where do you sit?
I actually consider that I've lucked out. I sit in the balcony, first row, pretty close to the blue line on the attack end. But it's better than that. I walk in the arena. I drive and I park. I walk across the street, walk in the arena, up the escalator, up one short flight of stairs, and I'm at my seat on the aisle. First row balcony. Now, how did I stumble into that? I could never. I always want concerts and entertainment, any sports. I always want first row balcony if it's available. What happened was I was odd. I do a lot of things oddly, and I didn't ask for two seats. You know, you want to go with your spouse. And I didn't ask for four seats like I did back in the Warriors days. You know, bring a good friend and a couple of other friends. I asked for three seats. Who does that? And I don't know why, but for some reason they walked us around and we found these seats were available as a three, and they couldn't sell them as a two because it orphans a seat. So by asking for three, we lucked into some seats that other people might have died for to get two together.
There you go.
So what do you do with
the the Barracuda, the AFL team in San Jose plays in the same arena. We got glass seats by that trick, but I don't like the glass. I just walk backwards and sit up somewhere.
Yeah, it's too close. You can be too close to the ice.
Yeah, what do you do with the third seat? Or you just leave it empty?
Well, we have a son that's really into the Sharks with us. He's like flown down to L.A. for playoff games in prior years with us and got bought our jerseys. So he comes to a lot of the games, and when I'm out of town traveling, he'll bring a couple of his friends. But you can always fill three seats pretty well.
Steve, I know that you called in for your friend to enter today, and you didn't sign up for an interview. We've been talking to you for about 10 minutes. I really, really appreciate it. I feel like I would almost be doing a disservice to all of the people in tech here in the Bay Area if I didn't ask you about, I mean, you've been very public about Facebook and what you think it's done, and you're encouraging people to drop it. What can you tell us about that? And if interested in free and equal time, Mark Zuckerberg is free to call. So,
yeah.
Steve, what do you think?
The way I speak about Facebook is misinterpreted by sensationalist headlines, making it sound, oh, I'm telling everybody, get off Facebook. Well, the founders of Instagram that was bought by Facebook for huge amounts of money have both said, get off of Facebook. But I don't quite do that. I say, you know what? If you like Facebook and the pluses to you are worth any negatives in privacy, that's good. If you're good, Facebook's good. It's just that for my life, I have different values, and to be tracked everywhere, and I click like. Like, let's say you posted something, and I liked it. It was a fun story about some sports event, and I click like. I'm sort of in my heart. It's from me to you. It's from me to you. That's how I feel. You'll never see the like. A million advertisers will. So for me, Facebook was not right. Also, I had 5,000 Facebook friends, none of which I know. So I have to scroll through to see things from important people in my life. I'd scroll forever and almost never see their stuff. And I didn't scroll. I only started going through it proactively like most people do for 3 months in my life. And every time I was standing around waiting in a line, here I am doing Facebook. And I felt that it was becoming a big habit, and that's like addiction. And I'm against that. So I just stopped it because it just wasn't helping me in my life. The negatives were a bigger deal for me. And I encourage people who think the way I do, but do not want to be totally tracked and followed and you're the product, I encourage them to leave Facebook too.
Steve helped invent the future, a philanthropist, and as interesting a person as I know I'll ever have on my show. Thank you very much, Steve, for joining us today and making a phone call into the Dial Pad Celebrity Contest. Really appreciate you. You're gonna be a tough guy to knock off the pedestal. You really were. We had Don Nelson offer Ray Ratto some marijuana. Do you have anything to offer Ray that could possibly steer him in your direction?
Oh my gosh! Probably some little dumb technical advice. I'll give him a tip. Yeah, get an Apple Watch.
Ooh, all right.
No, I've actually had a good time with Don Nelson. I'm a prank player, and I played a lot of pranks at those Warrior games. And in the earliest days of red lasers, when nobody had them and they were super expensive, I had my laser pointers, and I was sitting behind the team, and Don Nelson would be yelling at the team, and I'd light his mouth up red. too afraid to look around. But I had good times. We went over once. Shrunas Marshalonis was a player from Lithuania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I met him, and he wanted to set up a school for impoverished people in Lithuania that were on the streets, a basketball school. And so I donated all the computers and brought them over to Lithuania. We actually had them. We bought them there. We didn't bring them from the U.S. And I brought over a bunch of students that I was teaching. I taught public schools for 8 years. Young elementary and middle school students, and they trained the staff at Shrunas' school, and I gave a speech there, and Bob Nelson's son was at that event too. So we all kind of remember those days.
Wow, I don't know how much Nelly remembers them. But
well, I mean, I like the fact that he was turning Nelly's mouth red before Nelly started to do that himself.
Yeah. Steve, thank you very much for the phone call. So what does, like, Steve Wozniak do with the rest of his day? You're going to hang up with us, and you're going to go, what, invent what?
Huge amounts of email to attend to and keeping up with the news. I travel a lot. I give up to 100 speeches a year, mostly foreign, all over the world. So I always have to be kind of prepared enough today. When we get free time, we look for, is there a movie today or is there a concert playing? We have to drive an hour and a half up to San Francisco for concerts because they're only up there and we're in San Jose. We only go to the small places. We won't go to any of the big arenas anymore. I like the intimacy of the small ones.
What's your favorite venue in the city?
I don't have one favorite one. I mean, at the bottom of the hill, we just had a great show for $20 with three groups the other night. And, you know, Hotel Utah, we've been to Rickshaw Stop.
Oh, I love it.
I don't forget these groups. Bimbo's 365.
Oh, look, sure. You're going real small. You're not saying Fillmore Warfield. You're going tiny clubs.
We're independent, well, bottom of the hill.
The largest I will go is Fillmore Warfield. Then there's the Independent and the Great American Music Hall.
Yeah.
The largest of all that I will do is Greek Theater. Of course, I went to every Shoreline show for 27 years because I started the Shoreline Amphitheater with Bill Graham. We were equal partners in that one. I went to every show for 27 years. And I said, I've seen all the big groups in the big places. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to get to the small, you know, intimate things and seeing new groups and starting groups.
All right, like Steve, you just opened the door for another five-minute line of questioning. I'm sorry. I had no idea that you and Bill Graham were bosom buddies. What should my younger audience know about the legend Bill Graham and what he did for music and the way we experience concerts now?
Well, it totally affected my life. I was a little bit late start at the end of my first year of college, and I went to my first real concert, and it was at the Fillmore. And I go there and line up, and I go in, and Junior Walker starts playing the trumpet, and it just hit my heart. And I said, forever, live music is so important to me. And the next group was Jefferson Airplane. The next group was the Grateful Dead. I had no idea what incredible was going to change my life so much. But Bill Graham, the way he talked to the audiences, even about going to some of the Vietnam War protests and things like that, you know, struck chords in me. And eventually over the time I had him, he worked in my US Festival near San Bernardino, California. But then we went over and he called me one time and he said that it was never possible to ever put on a show in Russia. He didn't believe that I had done the first three Space Bridges, that's video transfers, from our concerts in 1982 and 1983, to the Soviet Union. He didn't think it was possible, but we really had amazing stories behind how we achieved that. It's a miracle.
Well, and didn't Billy Joel do like the first ever concert in Russia that was beamed back to the United States?
I think he did the first ever in Russia by an American, but it was not beamed.
Oh, right, yeah, by an American, of course.
I put on the first three live ones. By the way, my US Festival was the first time ever a large screen was used at a concert in the United States. It was the first time ever that speakers delay into the audience had delayed sound to match what was coming from the stage. I mean, we did a lot at first. It was the largest stage of its time. So that was a big deal. And Bill Graham managed the stage that first year. I wanted him back the second year, but my staff couldn't get along with him. They just were incompatible personalities. And so we didn't have them really involved the second year. But I stayed close, very close to all the people from Bill Graham Presents. Ones like Nick Klenos and to this day, Greg Perlock, who puts on Outside Lands and other great shows, Any Planet shows all over the area. So I stayed close to him, but we went over to Russia. Bill Graham called me and he said he got a chance to do a show in Russia, first time ever, and we could put American groups on the stage, top American groups, with top Russian groups. And I said, is there any problem? He says, well, we got to finance. I said, how much? He said, $500,000. I said, okay. And so I basically sponsored the entire thing. We took over Santana, Bonnie Raitt, the Doobie Brothers, and James Taylor, and from our side. And that was a great experience. It was a whole hour Showtime show about it, I think.
So what have you done since lunch?
Since lunch? We just got back from lunch and called you.
So nothing. He's accomplished nothing.
Yeah.
I assume I'm going to see you then Saturday night at the Greek Theater for Wolfpack, Steve, right? Just meet me there?
We don't go to too many of those songs, but you're not going to see us because we're headed off to Milan and Malta.
Right.
Yeah, I'm constantly traveling, and when I get back, I don't usually get back for long periods. And when I do, we're thinking road trip, and we take so many road trips. We've driven our Tesla three or four times all the way to Kansas and back, which is 3,000 miles plus. We've driven it twice to Yellowstone and back. We take road trips everywhere to Las Vegas, Phoenix all the time, and Salt Lake City. We just love it because we're together, we're talking, we're listening to sports, we're listening to music, we're listening to audio books. It's just a really great thing to do together, and we can take our family, which is our four dogs, with us.
Steve Wozniak, we can't thank you enough for your time. If you bill by the hour, we certainly could not afford this. So we really, really appreciate you calling in. And the next time you're in San Francisco with an hour to kill, if you were to stop by this station, we could talk to you all day. I mean, I have a million more questions. This was a pleasure. This was a surprise. Thank you very much, Steve.
Alrighty, I'd love to do that sometime. I can go all day with stories, and you have not even skimmed the surface of the pranks.
All right, so put this man on hold. Get his cell phone so we can have Steve Wozniak come in sometime. Steve Wozniak. Wow. Okay. Not bad. Ray, what do you think of the celebrity contest now? I'd say it took a turn for the better today, don't you?
It may have peaked early.
Right. I mean, who did we have yesterday? We had a...
I can't even remember. Clyde Drexler? What does he matter?
Right. Someone who's like, yeah. Baby Bash is a rapper that you might want to talk to. So Steve Wozniak, pretty good. The celebrity contest just crossed over into legend contest.
By Friday, you're going to have to get dead people to call.
Absolutely. Jerry Garcia will win on Friday, first person.
Can we focus in on the fact that, legends, they're just like us? Steve, he just wants to take a road trip to Yellowstone and listen to some tunes, man.
No, Steve Wozniak is just like us. Okay. Most of them are.
Fair enough.
Let's be fair.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.